And that's all it's about. And that, you know, I could probably leave it at that and walk out. Anyway, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you that you give an opportunity to be up here and be with Alvin, my friend here that I've met, and the inspiration that he's given me to search my heart even more for you. And I thank you for him and his wife, and the safe travels today for everybody to be here. And we just want to lift up the people that are in the fires and some of the towns that have been lost and the tragics that have happened in this world and even what's going on with the pandemic and everything, Lord. Give us all the strength to steadfast, to stay true to you, Lord. And we ask that your Holy Spirit will be up here and be with me and Ivan as we try to present something a little bit on evangelism. And we all need to learn it. I need to learn it more. And we just ask that you'll guide us and give us strength in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to give you a little skit here. And Alvin, you want to kind of turn towards me a little bit? I'll help you, or you can...
No, it's all right. That, put your feet out. I know where to go.
Okay, that's all that counts. Don't run over them, but you can... Oh. I've never done a lot of evangelism in my life, and Alvin has kind of inspired me, and I want to learn more. And sometimes don't be surprised if I call him Alvin the Chipmunk, because for some reason I don't remember his name, and that's the only way I can remember it. I'm not trying to embarrass you either.
No, you won't embarrass me.
Okay. Am I pestering you yet?
Not yet.
Okay. We got this hate-love relationship that kind of goes on. Not really, but just jokingly. It's fun to tease and have fun in life. And I'm going to paint you a little script, and I'm going to be a non-Christian. Somebody out here on the street. I've done drugs. I'm going to pretend all this. And he's going to evangelize something to me. And I need to learn it too, because I'm not good at sometimes spreading the gospel. And I need to learn more. And who am I going to be today? Prostitute? What do you want me to represent today?
Well, I have a dollar, so be a prostitute. Okay. First.
Okay. I'll try my best. I've never done that before, so.
Yeah.
But where are we at? Well, paint a picture for me. Are we on?
Okay. I'll just start out with this. Okay. Everybody. Well, maybe nobody knows. I've been counseling for years down in Portland for the homeless. Okay. And so one of the common things is someone will introduce a girl to me, because they know I'm nice sometimes. And probably one of the first things that will come out of her mouth will be, "Why do you want to be nice to me? I am a prostitute," and they usually have some vocabulary that goes with that. The first thing they then know, the first thing they have communicated to me is, "I'm no better than a pile of poop." That's how they see themselves. Most of my girls have been around Christians that weren't very Christian. Most of my girls. So when we use the title prostitute, you have to understand the environment for which I've been working for years.
And there we go.
For which I love. And my guys, I love them just as much. I keep the guys and the girls separate. We do, well, we used to because we've moved, but I work with them individually and the girls individually. But so when we choose a prostitute, the reason I pulled the dollar bill out, I figured that's where we were heading. And so, Tom, I want you to stop and think about something. What were you like when you were born?
I was naked.
Yeah, yeah. But I want to show you something. I have a dollar bill here. What's it worth?
A dollar.
Would you like it?
Sure. Well, you're not going to give it to me?
No. Look at that. Now would you like it?
Oh, yeah, I'd still take it.
Uh-oh, went too far.
I'll get it for you.
I step on it. And at a couple of times, I've actually spit on it. Then I say, would you like it?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of dirty and got your germs on it and everything. Yeah.
But, sweetheart, is it still worth a dollar?
Yeah, it's still
worth
it.
Can you buy something with it for a dollar?
Buy something to eat.
Do you realize that that's what you were and that's what you are today? You're as precious and valuable to me as you were the day you were born. I want you to know that I care.
But I'm worthless. Why would you even say that to me?
Because I want to come to get acquainted with you, and I want to find out a little about your life.
My life's not good. What's wrong with you?
You know, let me stop and ask you. Did you do anything good in school? Most often you do.
I never went to school.
Well, you're making it harder on me.
but
sweetheart,
is not easy.
It isn't easy. But sweetheart, I want you to know that Mary over there, because all these girls know each other by name or street name. She brought you to me. Why? Why did she bring you to me when she is tricking just like you are?
I don't know. Maybe she's seen something in you different that maybe she wanted me to have. Maybe
that's,
I don't know.
That's
I
right.
I don't really care. But why are you here?
Why? Because she did see something in me. She knows that I give her a hug in the morning if she feels like it.
Okay.
Sometimes she tells me about a trick that went bad. And I sit with her because I love her. I care about her. Yeah, she's still doing tricking.
So,
but I care about her. I want you to know that I care about her, and I care about you as a person, just like this dollar bill.
Well, but that's money.
It's money, but it has the value that you have. You have value that has been crushed, stomped on, spit on, used. And all of a sudden, I want you to see yourself like the girl that you were born. The girl with all the potential that you really have, and I want to see you being able to begin to pick that life up one step at a time, just like Mary is. And I think that if you just let me give you if you'll just give me the chance to sit with you, I'll take you out and we'll have a coffee and a donut. And I just kind of want you to tell me about your life. And then I kind of want to introduce something that is so much better that Mary found, and you know that Mary found it because she brought you to me.
I don't know. You know, it...
Will you go out to coffee with me? Will you have a donut with me just this one time?
I don't know. I don't... You know what?
Well, think about it.
I can't trust anybody in my life.
No,
right now.
I know, honey. You can't trust.
I just don't know. I mean...
Every guy,
not very convincing.
Every guy that has said they love you has tricked with you. But I can tell you, and Mary will tell you, and all the other girls down here will tell you, I'm not going to do a trick. I'm here because I care about you, sweetheart. I care about you.
Well, I'll give you
one
30 minutes.
30 minutes is all I ask.
A coffee or a donut, whichever you choose.
Well, you know it's right down the street.
Okay.
And they all, this particular restaurant has a table for me when I bring my girls or my guys in. There was always a table that they made sure that was available for me, whether it was an addict or a girl or whoever it was, because donut coffee is...
I'm going to add something. We all... Is this working?
Can't hear you.
Is it working? Oh.
Yeah.
No, I think the battery went dead. Just a minute.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Now it's too loud. How many of us, I'm going to point this out, you know, and you'll get to it, but I'm probably jumping ahead.
No.
How many of us in our lives have felt like nobody cares? How many of us are in the same situation, maybe even sitting here right now, or I could even be standing here or whatever, and we feel unsafe to even walk through a church, through our homes, through anything? And it's so important to make somebody, well, I shouldn't use the word make, but that they feel safe in us, that they can come to us. Even children, how many times do we condemn and criticize our own children and we don't even realize it? And they end up on the street or on drugs and alcohol. And okay, now it's your turn to let's what are you going to tell me? How are you going to convince me as this person that doesn't want to trust you?
Well, when we get down, honey, when we get down to the coffee shop, I want you to start telling me about your life. And every so often, I'll throw in a little one-liner. Okay. About what God did for me in a similar situation sometime in my past. And as you tell me about your life, I'm going to tell you about these things that have happened. I'm not going to try to make you a Christian at this. All I want to do is help you to find a better life.
So you're not going to shove your religion down me?
No, I am not going to shove my religion down you. I never have. I never will.
Really?
If you want my religion, you're going to have to see it in me first. And so, yes, sweetheart, I want you to know that I love you. And I want everybody to know that if we love people, they see God loving them through us.
Amen.
The first thing in evangelism we have to do is let them know we care. The evangelism 101 is always about me loving them and not shoving religion down their throat.
Amen.
And it's so important, and it becomes so easy. And I can tell you there are just gobs of people out there who are just looking but don't know where to look. But the first thing they want to know is you love them. Anyway, I'll shut up.
Unconditionally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, you want to hear my story is what you're telling me.
I do. I want to hear your story because I want you to know I have empathy. There's a verse in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 1:4, talks about Jesus suffered, then we suffer, so that we can have empathy. That is such an important principle of Scripture, that we can have empathy because God has had empathy on us and cared about us. That's 2 Corinthians 1:4.
So, sorry, I got to grab a tissue. Oh, right here. My allergies with this. So you're telling me you really want to listen and try to understand my life and where I've come from.
Because I want to know where you hurt and how you hurt.
Well, you know, it started out as a little girl. My parents abused me. They were drug alcoholics and everything. And you know, it was tough growing up. And all I know is eventually when I realized I was, you know, I started in school a little bit. I left. I didn't like it. I didn't have to go. They didn't force me to go to school. I grew up on the streets. It was a miserable life.
Yeah.
But it was also, you know, I had the freedom that I thought that everybody else wanted.
But can I add something, a one-liner here? What did you find on the streets? When you found, did you find acceptance?
Yeah, I did.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah.
And that's what I want you to feel about me. I want you to know that I accept you in all the... And some I have to be careful because sometimes I use words with these people that I wouldn't use in church. But I want you to know I care. I want you to know I accept you as much as the guys that pretended to accept you.
So, yeah, there's words that we wouldn't use as dealing with people sometimes. But it's being real with them.
Yes.
It's getting right down and being real. And I think sometimes, and I'm adding to this as we go along, as sometimes people just need realness in their life. And it's hard, because sometimes we think as Christians, and I think Mark, you can relate to that, going through whatever you've gone through in life, what really brought you was probably somebody who was totally real and honest in your life. And that's what it was about. And that's what evangelism is sometimes. It's just being honest and real. And sometimes we, even dealing with people that aren't on the street or just average people that work in our workplace, that's really all they want too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I felt accepted. I felt like, you know, somebody cared about me. And it's hard, because I see other people on the other side and they look so happy, but I'm happy too. To a certain point.
To a certain point. Yeah, you get that fulfillment a little at a time, but it's always temporary, sweetheart. It's always temporary. And I know, and you know, that you'll come back and you'll trick tonight. And you'll get a little acceptance, because that's what you're looking for. If you can get nothing else, honey, you can get 20 minutes of acceptance. And that's all. I have something I want you to know, that I'll love you tomorrow morning. And I'll love you the next day and the next day. And your friends will love you, because we now begin to... The reason Mary brought you is because she cared about you.
Yeah.
And she's going to be there, because we have a code between us that Mary, if you have problems, Mary is going to be there to help you. And Mary or Martha or any of the other girls, now as we begin to be a group, you have a group of safe people who understand the same problems that you're dealing with and the same hurts that you're dealing with. And so I say, I want you to understand, it's not just me now that cares about you. They just want you to find something to allow you to become part of a group who will accept you for who you are today and be lifting you up when somebody hurts you.
So if I want to go shoot up again with drugs, or I want to go drink, or, you know, I'm thinking of going out and doing my trick or whatever, I can go to this group?
They're there for you.
And they'll encourage me?
They're there for you, sweetheart.
So that I won't do this again?
Yes. They will be there. Yeah, they're out tricking too, but we're a group. And some of us are making progress in our lives. Some of them, they'll tell you, a couple of my girls are in college right now. And at Mount Hood College. And the college is making sure that they're getting an education. Their babies are being taken care of. We got something better for you. It's a day at a time, honey. Day at a time.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. You know, thank you. I think I will maybe get a little more involved.
I would like that.
You know, it sounds like you have something different than what I've seen from other people that have come around and tried to get me to go to their church or their religion or whatever. You know, I might take that up. You know, I can see that you have a little different, that you care. You really kind of care about me. You know, that's important. And it's hard, because sometimes people just pretend they care. Yeah, I think I'll try that.
Okay.
Because nothing else has worked.
Next Sunday morning, you'll see us over there in the corner, and we'll be praying.
Okay.
None of them will probably be praying, but they know I'm going to pray for them. And the other thing I'll tell you now, that I can tell you that you didn't know before, the guys out here have made me a code. Someone hurts you, they'll take care of the problem.
Okay.
You're safer now when you're part of this group, because you're part of my girls.
Okay.
You're literally safer because you're part of my girls.
So, basically, you're trying to bring me part of this group, and yeah, I can see that.
And they'll hug you.
Yeah.
If you need a hug, it's there.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay. Okay. Now, I'm going to finish on a note. My wife and I, thank you so much.
You're welcome, brother.
You can stay right there if you want. That's, where's the...
I'll just beat it on the floor.
Okay, okay. Nah, it's going to be... There, it's off. I got to experience this firsthand with a young lady. She wasn't a prostitute or anything, but she grew up in a Christian home. And circumstances ended up, she ended up at our house for about 3 months. That close, hun? And I have to be honest, it kind of gets me. Everything I've learned and from you and from going through experiences in my own life and growing and going through some crises in my own life, it's hard to love a teenager right where they are. And you two young people out there, us parents, sometimes we don't do a very good job of it. And I just let this young lady, she just spilled her beans with us as we had worship off and on. Some nights we would invite her, would you like to have worship? Not really. And she grew up with having worship. Nah, not tonight. I don't care. Okay, well, we're not going to have worship either. We would just kind of play along. And then there was some nights that we would, you know, let's have worship. And we would have some of the most wonderful conversations. And didn't criticize her. Didn't condemn her. She'd even say, I don't love God. I don't even know why I want to even have worship with you guys. And I would start asking the one-liners. And we'd have such wonderful conversations. And you know, by the time she left, she goes, I have never felt so loved in all my childhood, in all my teen years, that I have felt loved by you too. And it brought tears to my eyes. And I still think about the experience. And I hope I can do that with everybody. Because it's so important to listen, and understand. And that's so hard because we listen and listen and want to respond. And it's so hard. And being as an evangelist, or just being who we are, we want to control and manipulate people. And we can't. We just have to learn how to be there for people. And I'm not good at it. And I pray every day that God will make me better at it. And it's hard. And that goes with husbands and wives, grandkids, everybody. That's what it's about. And I'm going to close with that. And thank you so much for helping me out here and assisting me. And I didn't really come prepared today, but I sure hope it's with the Holy Spirit. I was up there, I was sitting in my chair praying, and that's what he said I needed to do today. So, thank you. Was closing song. I don't have the bulletin with me. 6:12. One of my favorite songs. Yes, please stand. soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus marching on before. And into battle, kneeling in their roles, onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus growing on before. A mighty army moved anew. Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. As to war, with the cross of Jesus lean on before. Into people join our happy throng, blindly by our Savior. Soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus lean on before. Thank you, Martha. I don't know what I'd do without your beautiful voice. I want to leave you guys with this thought. We are all perfectly imperfect. And remember that as we go through this week, even our spouses, our kids, we're no better than anybody. And just remember, we're perfectly imperfect. Amen. And God is the only one that can, we have those crooked ways, He can make us straight. Let's have prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you that you died on the cross, that you gave your life to show us a correct way to go, and a way to live for you and to show other people that we care, that we want you in our life, and that people are so curious about even though we know we're imperfect, that they see something different in us. That it draws them to us. And we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.